This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
A special focus on five ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated, vaccinated. Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was President Biden. What he said got a lot of buzz. Talking about going door to door. You know, I don't know how to take that. A lot of people are thinking, it's, oh, you know, the government coming door to door. I know some people who are really concerned about that. I don't know. He's just being creative in the way that he is posing that. Jake's like, no, he's not, Drew. It's like, I don't know.
If he had Girl Scout cookies with him, Drew, that would be creative. But
that would
no.
be, Jake. You're right about that. But yeah, will the government really come door to door? I don't think so. But you know what? I know a lot of people probably disagree with me on that. That's for sure. Good afternoon. It's good to be back with you. I'm Drew Mariani. And coming up in a moment, Dr. Paul Kengor is going to be stopping by. We'll talk with him. I want to talk about COVID. And a lot of people are getting vaccinated, a huge push to do this. Hey, there's a segment of the population that will not get vaccinated. Dr. Anthony Fauci is trying very hard to convince people, get vaccinated. He was on MSNBC yesterday, and he said to people who have not been vaccinated yet, get over it. Get over it. You know, that's what he was saying. Get over it. Get over this and get vaccinated. Here's what he said. Listen.
This is not complicated. We're not asking anybody to make any political statement one way or another. We're saying try and save your life and that of your family and that of the community. It's, you know, we have so many things, as you said, so many diseases that I deal with that don't have solutions. It's very frustrating. You don't have a treatment or you don't have a vaccine. Here we have a vaccine that's highly, highly effective in preventing disease and certainly in preventing severe disease and hospitalization. It's easy to get, it's free, and it's readily available. So, you know, you've got to ask, what is the problem? Get over it. Get over this political statement. Just get over it and try and save the lives of yourself and your family.
So get over it. Try to save the lives of yourself and your family. This is part of a push by the government to get more people to take the vaccine that they're, you know, supposed to protect them from COVID-19, including the variants that are now popping up. And I will talk a little bit later in the hour about some of these new variants. And there's been several of them. But the number of people who have been given these jabs, it peaked back in April. So there's been this we're on the backside of that slope, if you will, that peak. In April, I think we had something like 4.4 million in one day, and the number of getting them has been declining ever since. But the latest figures, they show that about 640,000 people get them a day on average. That's over the last week. That's less than 48% of the total U.S. population has been vaccinated so far. And estimates are that we won't reach the 85% threshold that is considered herd immunity until next year. And, you know, I've heard, you know, 70, I heard 80, now I'm hearing 85%. The push is on right now because of the so-called Delta variant that is apparently sweeping through India. It's now making up the majority of cases in this country. The Biden administration is concerned. In fact, they're so concerned that there's talk about the government officials, as you heard in that piece of audio that Jake played, going door-to-door to get the shots. Will we really see that? I'm sorry, Jake. Go ahead. Jake was just talking in my ear. What were you saying, Jake?
Interesting to note here. Yeah. I just got a tweet at Drew Mariani Show. Christy saying she got a text asking if she's gotten vaccinated. It said, hello, this is California's COVID vaccination outreach project. Yeah. Have you received at least one dose of a vaccine? And then it says respond one for yes, two for no, three for will not get vaccinated, or four for not sure.
Yeah.
So she got that automated text already. So
yeah, Jake's part of the show team here. And Jake Tom, who's our other producer on the show, he told me a couple days ago that he was getting phone calls. He's in the state of Minnesota. From the local government there asking if he's been vaccinated or not. And Tom didn't take that too well. He doesn't want the government knowing, you know, whether or not he's been vaccinated or not. And none of their business, he feels. But now you're seeing texts and actual telephone calls to Americans. So maybe I should take a deep breath. Maybe there will be knocks on your door and you'll get your needle brought to you curbside. I don't know, but a lot to talk about today. What about people who have already had the disease? Do they need it? Do they need to get the shots? If you read the website of places like MIT or Mayo Clinic, I mean, really good place, Penn State, right, or the CDC, they all say, yeah. According to them, it's still not known how long a natural immunity will last. And they claim that just a single shot of the mRNA vaccine, yeah, it'll boost your immunity, you know. It'll boost it a lot. But there are other experts who kind of chafe at that and actually count the people who have had it as the among strongly immunized. So I don't know where you are on this. I just thought we'd take a look at it. There's a political scientist. His name is Paul Kengor. I know you know him. He's been a great contributor to the program over the years. He teaches at Grove City College. And besides being a political scientist, he did 5 years worth of research on immunology work at the University of Pittsburgh's transplant unit, which was news to me. I found that out this week. And his reasoning, he says, I've already had COVID. I don't need the vaccine. He wrote a piece. We posted it up on our Twitter page as well, so you can get connected to it. He says, look, it's just science. I don't need it. Doctor, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Good to be with you.
So I just want to start with a disclaimer, and you're not an anti-vaxxer, right? You're not. And so I want to throw that out there, but you've had COVID, and you've decided, you know, I'm going to wait on a vaccine or not get it at all. Tell me a little bit about your science background. I didn't know that. I love that about you. You're a great historian, a great writer. You know, I have so much respect for what you're able to do on that front. So a little background and a little bit of your rationale as to where you are on this.
Yeah, well, it's a long story. I have a faith conversion story that goes along with it and all sorts of other things. But I was pre-med at the University of Pittsburgh. It's why I went there. In fact, it was the University of Pittsburgh that pioneered organ transplantation. It was under a doctor named Dr. Thomas Starzl, who I worked for. And there's a new documentary film out on him called Burden of Genius, which I would really recommend to people. And he was the pioneer. When I was there in the 1980s, we quite literally did 80-90% of the world's organ transplants. We trained all the organ transplant surgeons that went out into the world and started their own transplant centers. And I think about 2.5-3 years of that time, I was an undergrad, but I worked probably 20 hours a week, and then summer 30 to 40 hours a week. And then I graduated and I worked full time doing research, and I did research on the so-called miracle drug. It was, the code name was FK506, that revolutionized the entire field of organ transplantation. And that was the drug. Here's the tricky thing, Drew. Right, when you get an organ transplant, your body recognizes it as a foreign body, a foreign substance. And so it attacks it. It rejects it like it would any kind of disease.
Right.
And so what you have to do, it's an incredible thing. It's so counterintuitive. You've got to trick the immune system into accepting this one thing that has been brought into the body to save it. So in my case, I had my patients were liver and kidney transplant patients. I didn't really have any heart transplants. Right. And I had I also worked at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh. So I had patients like Tabitha Foster, who was the first. It was called multivisceral transplant. She had 5 different organs that were transplanted into her. So that was my background. I've never been against vaccines. You know, I spent a lot of time in immunology. I was a biochem biophysics major at the University of Pittsburgh. And as I said on your show last year, I wrote a bunch of articles on this. We did a bunch of talk shows on it. I was pushing for Operation Warp Speed. You could call me not a COVID skeptic, a COVID alarmist. I mean, I saw those death numbers, you know, this time last year, spring, summer 2020, double digit death rates in Europe. And, you know, it frightened me. So I still, COVID is far worse than the seasonal flu. But my point in my article is I ended up with COVID. I got it last November. My whole family got it. For me, fortunately, it was mild. I blew right through it. I thought I had allergies, Drew, and until I lost my taste.
Wow.
That was the dead ringer, right? But so because I've had COVID and I have antibodies, I don't need a vaccine. I don't. And this time last year, there were reports from, you know, saying that you're going to need the vaccine anyway. But I'll cite two studies for you in a minute. But what one of those studies that just came out even addressed that issue. It said this time last year, we didn't know enough information. I want people to think about this. In you know, May, June 2020, you don't know yet if there's long-lasting immunity right. from COVID because people have only been having it for a few weeks, right? You don't know this stuff, like all of this, death rates, mortality rates, morbidity rates. You only know over time. You only come to learn what works, you know, if you have antibodies. And there's two studies out now, a massive one from Cleveland Clinic, which is, you know, as you know, probably one of the top three or four, right up there with Mayo Clinic and a few others. 52,238 employees, Drew,
wow.
were part of this.
Wow.
And anybody listening who's in medicine, that's what you call a statistically significant sample size, all right? And it concluded that, quote, individuals with previous SARS-CoV-2 infection do not get additional benefits from vaccination, okay? Do not get additional benefits from vaccination. And I'll quote one other here, and this one is from Washington University School of Medicine. It's in the journal Nature, which is a peer-reviewed study. And one of the professors involved in the study said this: last fall, there were reports that antibodies wane quickly after infection with a virus that causes COVID. But that's a misinterpretation of the data. It even says mainstream media interpreted that to mean that immunity was not long-lived. But however, we have found that antibody-producing cells in people 11 months after the first symptoms, these cells will live and produce antibodies for the rest of people's lives. There's strong evidence for long-lasting immunity, unquote. And people listening, and I know I'll stop. I'm going on.
No,
I'll let
please,
you jump
doctor,
in with your
go
question.
Right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, but what people need to understand is that for most diseases, okay, you get a vaccine, okay, if you haven't had the actual virus. A vaccine is an artificial substitute, okay, for something that you didn't have. The vaccine is put into your body as like a fake form of the virus. So you can build up antibodies to the vaccine. So if the real deal comes into your body, the antibodies can knock it down, all right? You get that vaccine if you haven't had the real thing. If you've had the real thing and you've survived it and you went through it, then typically you have antibodies that if it comes into your body again, it'll knock it down like a vaccine did. So you typically don't need a vaccine for something you've already had. Now, let me say this. There are things that you can get, and you can get them repeatedly and stuff that there's not vaccines for. You know, shingles, for example, right? If you've had chicken pox when you were younger, you can get that at different times. People over the age of 50, one in three, maybe even one in every two will get shingles. I'm being treated right now for Lyme, Lyme disease. Wow. I'm taking doxycycline for this because I got spots on my body for it. Wow. You know, Lyme can come back and get you again over the years. But with COVID, what we're now seeing based on studies that we couldn't have possibly had this time last year because it wasn't long enough is that people are getting immunity from having COVID. And if you've had COVID, you probably don't need vaccinated. So, you know, that's where I stand. And I say in this article for American Spectator, first of all, in America, you can't force people to stick needles in their arms.
Right.
Okay. Especially for something that even Pfizer and the others point out on their fact sheets are not FDA approved. Okay. Above all, you should not be forcing people who already had COVID to get vaccinated. And don't dare anybody force my 19-year-old daughter who had COVID to get vaccinated, because I especially think that the teenage kids, period, shouldn't be getting this, and especially teenage kids who had COVID. So there's a little bit of my take on this.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. He wrote an article, and we actually posted it. You'll find it both on Facebook and Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. And please follow us and like us on those social media sites. It says, had COVID, not getting vaccinated, and he tells you why. And I wonder where we are with this, and I want your perspective on it, because I know at the end of your article, you know, you talk about how this is really having somebody come and knock on your door. You're forcing Americans who had COVID, you know, to take an experimental vaccine into their bodies is a serious violation of civil liberties. Joe Biden said this a little bit earlier. He's got a lot of controversy, a lot of, you know, feet kickback on this. And I wasn't sure how literally he meant this. I thought maybe he's just talking. But if you didn't hear this, listen, this is Joe Biden, and we'll get Dr. Kinger's take on it.
A special focus on five ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated vaccinated. Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
So door to door. Doctor, what's your take on that? You know,
it's outrageous.
As we've talked about, I mean, you know, we talk about civil liberties here. Is he being direct and honest with us? Is it just a way of speech saying, hey, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure Americans have access to this? What do you think about that statement? I'd love your analysis.
Well, I'd like to know what our pro-choice Catholic president, who loves the slogan, my body, my choice,
right,
when it comes to abortion. You know, why doesn't that apply to something like this, especially for people who've already had COVID? And I'm not going to listen to Joe Biden. I don't trust Joe Biden on politics. I don't trust him on abortion. I don't trust him on fitness to receive the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not going to trust him on the latest on biomedical technology. He's out of his element here. He doesn't know anything about this. And by the way, don't be surprised if a year from now the CDC comes out and says, well, based on the latest data, people who have had COVID really don't indeed need vaccinated, right? And they could end up changing that. And I have in front of me the fact sheet for recipients and caregivers of the Pfizer vaccine. And this is now updated through June 25th. And it says here, Drew, quote, there is no U.S. FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Let me repeat that for the audience. There is no U.S. FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. That's straight from Pfizer's fact sheet. So these things are still technically experimental. And there are I'm getting daily emails about a girl in Western Pennsylvania, 19 years old, who went to Catholic schools. A good friend of mine knows her and is sending me emails. She developed, she believes, myocarditis from receiving a vaccine. I hope she wasn't forced to get that vaccine. And then she got pneumonia, and she had a heart transplant last week. They had to cut open her rib cage, her sternum, and rip her open, and they had to give her a heart transplant. I don't know for sure if this was caused by the vaccine, but the idea again here, I don't think teenagers need this vaccination. And I don't want to sound like an anti-vaxxer. If you are over 50, over 60, over 70, if you have comorbidities, if you are obese, I mean, really, the death toll for COVID-19, and there's some important anomalies about this, but it really reflects obesity above all. I mean, the number of obese people who've died from it, it's staggering when you look at that data. Now, that said, you get the really odd, frightening occasional case of the marathon runner who dies from it, who's in perfect shape. But if I had not had COVID, and I might be thinking about this differently. I might be weighing my options right now. But frankly, Drew, probably what I'd be doing would be waiting for a vaccine that's based on a real vaccine, not a messenger RNA type vaccine. These are really, 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 really new.
Yeah.
I mean, they just started doing these on animals in the 1990s. The typical vaccine, like the Jonas Salk polio vaccine, developed by my alma mater, Pitt, in 1955, that was a heat-killed vaccine. That's the more traditional vaccine. This mRNA stuff, I mean, this is a different cat altogether.
I have an epidemiologist that's on the program a lot, and he is waiting for a vaccine called Novavax that it should be coming out. I don't believe, and I'll be speaking to a physician coming up in just a minute here, I don't think Novavax is the mRNA vaccination. You know, it doesn't have that technology behind its creation. So that might be an option, but, we talk about whether or not we need these for children or for young adults, and we're seeing, I know Israel did a study and they found that there's a higher incidence of myocarditis amongst young adults as well. But I also know a lot of people who've gotten the vaccine and seem fine. I mean, side effects.
Most people,
they're inoculated. So I don't want to scare people who are going to make that decision. There were some ethical concerns with some of the other vaccines, and people had to grapple with those issues as well. Let me go to the phones. We have a couple minutes for you. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. I think there's one line available for you if you want to get in. Dr. Kengor wrote a book. He wrote an article. It's in American Spectator. It's spectator.org is a website, but we're linking over to it at Twitter and Facebook here. So if you have follow us there, you'll also find it. It's titled, Had COVID, Not Getting Vaccinated. Forcing vaccines on previously infected people goes against science and constitutional freedoms, and it might be worth the read. So go ahead and check that out. All right, let's go to the phones. Who's up next? Mike in Chicago. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Great show as usual, Doctor. Good to listen to you, too. My comment is this. Dr. Kengor already said it, the old, my body, my choice. Apparently that hashtag has gone right out the window. But my comment is, if you're vaccinated and you're out there wearing the face diaper still, what on all of God's green earth are you worried about? Why do you care what someone else does?
Yeah.
If you're vaccinated and you're wearing the face diaper, okay, why do you care what someone else does? It, unless you think the vaccine really doesn't work.
Now, hey, Mike, thanks. I got a minute to go, so doctor, I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Yep, very, 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 very important point. And you have the power to get the vaccine and get vaccinated, so what do you care if somebody else isn't? And let me borrow this from the abortion people, too, and I'll say this to pro-Catholic, pro-choice Catholic President Joe Biden. Hey, Joe, keep your hands off my body. How's that?
I love it. Hey, doctor, thank you for being here. Always great talking with you. I love your passion, and I love learning you have a little bit of a medical background behind you. Pretty cool stuff.
Thanks
for what you're doing, though. It's always good to have you. We'll catch up again soon. I've got to take a quick break. Go to spectator.org. You'll find his article. But we have it up on Twitter and Facebook at The Drew Mariani Show. And you can check out Doctor's article on whether or not forcing somebody to be vaccinated goes both against science and constitutional freedoms. When we come back, we'll talk more. Dr. Bhattacharya is going to be stopping by. We'll answer a lot of your questions.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
A study conducted in Israel found that the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is somewhat less effective against the more infectious Delta variant, though it was still found to be effective at preventing severe illness. As the Wall Street Journal reports, the Pfizer vaccine protected 64% of immunized people during an outbreak of the Delta variant, a sharp drop when compared to the 94% of people it had previously been shown to protect.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Does that news from the Hill concern you? What's the truth here? We're going to take a look at that. My guest will be joining me in just a second. Is an expert who has, of course, worked for the CDC. He's teaches at the Center for Primary Care and Outcomes Research at Stanford University School of Medicine, and he's a specialist in infectious disease. And Dr. Jay Bhattacharya will be stopping by in a second. You heard reports about about these other variants. We know about the Delta, the one in India. There's one out of South America in Peru, the Lambda strain. Now accounts for about 82% of new infections. Meanwhile, you have Chile and Argentina and Brazil and Colombia and Ecuador and Mexico and all these other places that have confirmed widespread cases of the variants. How effective is your vaccination against that? Are you safe? You heard earlier the federal government is very concerned. I mean, they see the science, they see the data, they're concerned about these new COVID variants. And by the way, in case you haven't figured it out yet, they're naming them after the letters in the Greek alphabet. You know, we were talking about, you know, the British variant. We were talking about the Indian variant. They've decided to take the name of the country out and give them these Greek names. There's the Delta variant, which came from India and now makes up really the majority of cases that we're battling here in the U.S. And it's supposed to be more transmittable than the British variant that was what we were first hit with. So some Israeli researchers, though, they've been studying this stuff, and they found that the vaccinations, the Pfizer vax, is not as effective against the Delta variant. You know, it was very effective against the initial strain, but maybe not as efficacious against these new strains. But now there's a new variant, this one from Peru. And scientists, they're watching it because they don't know how it's going to respond. You know, one British scientist said that they're watching the Lambda variant because it's, you know, it's a very compelling set of mutations compared with the other variants. And scientists don't have enough data right now to be able to compare it with the others that are already out there. So the World Health Organization, they're watching it because it had been isolated in Peru until just the last couple of months when suddenly it sprouted up in a number of other countries around the world at the same time. So will we see more? I think so. Are they becoming less effective? Less deadly? Are they becoming more contagious? What do we need to know? And if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. It's a pleasure to tap into the genius and expertise of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. It's good to have him back with us. Doctor, good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be back, Drew. Just one quick correction. I never worked at the CDC, but I do work at Stanford. I'm a professor at Stanford University. That's true.
That's good. Well, I'm grateful for the connection. You know, it's a Dr. Lanciotti who I've had on my program in the past. As it was coming out of my mouth, I'm saying, did he work for the CDC or was my other guest?
There's some great scientists there, but not
well, much. It's good to have you with me. I appreciate your expertise there at Stanford. A couple variants. We're going to see more, I'm sure. And my initial thought was, and maybe we should talk about Lambda first, then we'll take some calls. But, you know, what do you know about the Lambda variant? And are we going to see more variants? And as these things spread, do they become more contagious, less deadly? I mean, what do we know about them? Is there fear that, you know, one might go to the other end of the spectrum, become super deadly, super contagious? Or these viruses, these variants just try to survive, becoming more contagious and maybe less deadly?
Those are all great questions. So the key thing to remember about the virus is that it's an RNA virus. Mm-hmm. And one of the features of RNA viruses is that they mutate all the time. So variants have been happening from the moment the virus started replicating whenever it was. And so that is in and of itself is not a concern. The variants that you've been hearing about, you know, the alpha variant, the delta variant, this new lambda variant, the concern is that they mutated to a form where they're more infectious. All the evidence I've seen so far says that they're not more deadly, that they may be more infectious, but they're very likely not more deadly the original form. Now all that's fine. The question though for listeners and for policy is not actually around that. The real question is, do the variants escape natural immunity? So if you've had COVID and recovered from it, you're immune. I mean, you have some very, very strong protection against the reinfection. Does the variant change that? If you've had the vaccines and are exposed to the variant, are you no longer protected? And the really good answer, the happy answer, is that you are actually still quite well protected, both by natural immunity and by prior by vaccination against all of the known variants. So there's one point about this. Yeah. There's two kinds of immunity you can think about. One is something called neutralizing immunity. What that means is, if you get exposed to it, your body clears the virus before it touches any cells of yours. It just you have antibodies floating around that just immediately neutralize the virus. The variants seem to not provide that. On the other hand, you have another kind of immunity called cellular immunity, which basically protects you against severe disease. So you won't get hospitalized. You won't die from it. You won't get very, very severe outcomes. It'll be more like a cold if you have this kind of immunity. That's what the protective, like the previous infection and vaccines, still provide even against the variants. They provide protective immunity against severe disease.
All right, well, let's take a few phone calls for you. I know the lines are really active today for you. And if you want to get in, we'll do our best to get you on. Maggie's listening in Elgin Air Force Base in Florida. Maggie, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking this call. The question I have is, my husband and I had COVID last March. And we were treated with that, I can't pronounce it really good. It's something about Bamla BV mob or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Okay, here's the question. I'm going to Italy in November, and they're required testing, but it seems like the passport will be easier to go through with if you have that that vaccine passport. As I was listening to your show right now, mm-hmm. it says that if you have COVID, which I already have that feelings anyway, that I did not need the vaccine. Even though I do not need it, I felt like I have to do it. The other day, I went and get my first vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it too late to stop the second vaccine?
All right, great question. Thank you, Maggie. Let me let the doctor respond. So some people have one shot. A lot of people aren't going back for the second one, so she's not alone. A couple things. You can answer her question directly, but let me add to that. If you only go with one, do you have increased immunity, and does that last as long, or is it absolutely critical to have both shots?
Yeah, so for someone that's had COVID, they actually have fairly complete protection. The first shot is safe. The trials have established that. And I think it adds some protection, but from my read of the evidence, it doesn't add a lot of protection against severe disease outcomes. For a short while, it might protect you, produce this neutralizing immunity, which means that you won't even get a cold out of it. But as far as the thing that you care about, which is severe outcomes from the disease, hospitalizations, death, even before the first shot, if you've had COVID before, you're still protected. Do you need the second shot? I think there's a lot of evidence that you don't need the second shot after you've had the first shot, especially if you've had, for people who have had previous infection. I think that the first shot suffices. Maggie also asked a separate question, which is an interesting one, an important one, about what to do about these vaccine passports. If you want to travel and so on, you may have no choice. A lot of places are requiring them. I think that it's unfortunate because the scientific evidence suggests what I say, which is that if you've had prior infection, you have fairly complete protection against severe outcomes. So the question for Maggie, really, I would have if I were her, is it safe to get the second shot?
Right.
I think the answer is yes. I mean, you don't generally want to take an extra risk. There still is, obviously, with any medicine, some mm-hmm. risk. You'd rather not take it. But then, like with everything in life, it's a balance of risks.
Yes,
so you have to balance whether you want to be able to go on this vacation in Italy, which sounds fantastic, or versus taking this extra risk. I don't think it's right for governments to put people in that position, but unfortunately that's where we are.
Hey, Maggie, thank you. Have a great trip. Okay, I'm grateful for your call. Juliana has a question that's tangential to this, because she was tested positive about a year ago and was wondering just about, I think, immunity. Juliana in Houston, good afternoon.
Hi. Yes, so when I got COVID, I didn't even know I was walking around with it. I think I was at my most contagious when I was walking around because it was such a mild case.
Right.
A friend urged me to get tested. I came back positive. So I did my normal stint, 2 weeks at home. I went a few months later to go get tested for the antibodies because I was just curious. They were barely there. And my doctor even said she was surprised.
Wow.
I did get the Pfizer vaccine, and I was very much on the fence about it, but I lost my father to COVID at the end of January this year, so I was kind of working off of an emotional decision at that point. And my mother was sick with COVID at the same time my father was. And she really did have a pretty, you know, I think a pretty moderate case of it. And she did get the vaccine again, I think more of an emotional decision. So I'm even wondering, did I even have COVID to begin with? You know, how accurate are, you know, the COVID tests and the antibody tests?
So, Juliana, that's a great question. First of all, I'm so sorry about your dad. I also lost an uncle to COVID. I mean, it for older people, it is really a terrible disease. I think that the antibody tests are actually quite good. And so if you had detectable antibodies and the COVID, you had a PCR positive test, you definitely had COVID. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. The antibodies fade over time, both after the vaccine and also after natural infection. I think about 6 months after the fact, about a third, somewhere between a third and a half people that had COVID no longer have detectable antibodies. That doesn't mean you're not protected. You're still immune because you have the cellular immunity. The cellular immunity is cells in your immune system that recognize COVID and then sort of launch an immune response if you get infected again so that it doesn't cause severe outcomes. If you could still get COVID, but it would be milder probably than what you had before, which sounds like it was already mild. Did you need the first dose? I mean, I think there's a big debate about that in the medical literature. I come down on the side that you probably didn't need it, but there's some folks who think it's a good idea. And so I don't think you made a bad decision. I think it's not unreasonable to get it. I mean, like I said, there's lots of people who believe that is necessary. I don't think it's necessary. I think you were still protected before, but you know, I don't think you made a mistake, and I don't think your mom made a mistake. So, you know, I think you did the right thing.
Juliana, thanks. Sorry for your loss, too. All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Just, you know, as I'm listening to the exchange, and I'm confused on this one point, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know how long immunity lasts. I mean, I've got several of my kids had COVID, right? My daughter lives with us, right? And it, you know, the day before she erupted in her symptoms, I finished her steak. You know, it's like, oh, I thought I was so done, right? My wife came in the next day. She says, oh, Olivia's sick. I'm like, oh no. But I survived. I've been around people with COVID and for some, I swore I must have had a mild case of it too. And I had my antibodies tested when I had a physical and I had none. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I don't have it. How long does immunity last? I mean, her antibodies were really low, she said. Does it vary from person to person? Somebody who may have had COVID or thought they had it, does it last a short period of time? Can these last over a year? Because I had a previous guest on who's said, like, I've had COVID. I'm not going to go get the vaccine right now because I've got the antibodies. Do we know? Is there any definitive science on how long, on average, you remain immune?
For natural immunity, we know it's quite long lasting, right? So at 1 year, I mean, tens of millions of people have got COVID worldwide, and there's maybe less than 1%, maybe less than 0.5% of people have been reinfected. So natural immunity is quite long lasting. The nature of that immunity is not just antibodies. Your immune response, the immune system that you have, you know, that God made for you, is actually quite intricate and nuanced, has multiple systems of protection, antibodies only being one of them.
Right.
And so the antibody response declines, but you still remain protected against reinfection from COVID for a very long period of time after you get infected. Mm-hmm. We don't yet know for the vaccines how long immunity lasts. The vaccine's only been around relatively short while, right. But we suspect that they also last a good long time. And as I said at the beginning of the show, they protect against these variants, not neutralizing in the sense of if you get COVID, you will have literally no symptoms at all. Yeah. But against severe disease. If you get the vaccine, it is much less likely that you'll get the severe disease.
Let me go to New Jersey next. Martha's related to our conversation here. She had COVID, that my producers are telling me, and both vaccines, yet she doesn't have the antibodies. Martha, what's up? Good afternoon.
Hi, yes. I actually just got the phone call yesterday from my doctor to say that I'm testing negative for antibodies following both having COVID and having both vaccines. Now, the situation is that midway between there, I did have to go into the hospital for a small, quick procedure, and I was showing as if I was positive for COVID, so they knew that I had just had it. So it turns out that I had blood work back in April, and it showed that I did have antibodies. It came back positive for antibodies. So how can I flip from having had positive for antibodies to then after being fully vaccinated, it's showing up as if I don't have antibodies.
So that's a good question. So first thing, the tests always have errors, right? So every medical test has some errors. So it could be that you have a false negative test for the antibody. That's certainly possible. It sounds like from you, for your story, did you have like a lot of symptoms when you had COVID or after you had the vaccines?
Yeah, I had, I was very sick with COVID, not hospitalized, but, you know, definitely laid up for quite a while. And following my second vaccination, I became very sick. Mm-hmm.
Right.
With COVID-like symptoms that didn't last long.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people vary in their response. I mean, and I think you're on the range of the as I was telling Dr. Drew, Drew, that there's like two kinds of, like multiple kinds of immune responses, antibodies being one of them, but also cellular immunity. It seems like for you, it's likely that your antibody response is not the main way you respond to COVID. But it is very likely, almost, I mean, I would say like 100% likely that you are actually well protected against getting a reinfection from COVID. So I wouldn't worry if I were you. I think you're.
Yeah, and Martha, thanks. Thanks for the call. Doctor, let me take a short pause here. I've got to do it. I'm up against the clock. When we come back, we'll grab a few more calls. A lot of people want to get in. Great to have you here. I appreciate your patience and your time. And we'll try to get you on the air with Dr. Bhattacharya right after this.
The voice of reason for our nation. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, great to talk with you today. I'm Drew Mariani along with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, and it's always good to talk to him. We're talking about Lambda. That's the latest variant getting a lot of headlines. Of course, you know about the Delta variant, and you know about the constant fight for against COVID. And there's always headlines, whether it's Dr. Fauci or the president talking about knocking on doors to get people vaccinations, just trying to give you some perspective on it, give you an honest and clear look at it. And I'm grateful for the doctor's time. We'll take your calls. I only have a few minutes left in my hour. As I often say, I wish I could spend the whole day with you. But let's jump right back into it, doctor. We will go next to John. He's listening to us in northern Michigan. John, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Great show. I actually had what I believe to be COVID in early on in the whole pandemic. This was late 2019. I had very severe autoimmune symptoms, not so much as a cold, but I eventually went to a doctor after having these symptoms for roughly a week, and they diagnosed me as having viral pneumonia. Again, this was late 2019. I don't think anybody knew what this was, but I had been sick in a way that I had never felt that way before. The real issue for me started about 2 months after that. I started experiencing a brain fog where I would just, I'm an avid reader, and I would like sit down with a book and not be able to focus on anything. And I thought, well, maybe it's just, you know, the time and date. I'm a parent, I'm busy, I work. But soon after that, within a month or so, I started experiencing a lot of secondary effects, gastric issues. Mm-hmm. And they were exacerbated. I would crave sugar. Mm-hmm. I would have these extreme sugar cravings, and then I would feel terrible. And I even went so far as having my sugar checked to see if I was possibly diabetic or something was going on. And I've never actually had the antibody test. I would like to do that. But I know that the lingering effects of COVID are very real. I just lost a friend of mine last week who was experiencing a very traumatic time that he had gotten COVID and he had suffered from brain fog and stomach issues, and I believe that they contributed to his death as well. I just wanted to know kind of where we're going with this, how if we've been sick and we've had the antibodies, or even if our antibodies are not showing up, you know, the state of if we're going to be forced to be vaccinated to work, to go to school and all these things concerns me. And so I would just like to hear how far do we think it's going to go before it gets better. And I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, John. All right, doctor, I'll let you handle that one.
Yeah, John, I'm sorry about your, I mean, it sounds like you've been through a terrible time, and I hope you're feeling better now. I think in a small fraction of the cases, that's something on the order of 2, 3, 4% of cases have these lingering symptoms. And frankly, they're not all that well understood. The NIH is actually set to spend $1.4 billion studying some of these lingering symptoms of COVID. I'll tell you, it's interesting. There's an interesting paper where people with these long-term symptoms, when they get the vaccine, actually they actually start to feel better, which doesn't make a ton of biological sense to me, but that's just a fact. That might help. John's question was about the vaccines and restrictions and when will this all be over. John, keep up hope. I think that we are nearing the end of the epidemic in many ways. COVID is never going to go away. It's something that will. It's like a lot of the other diseases we have. We still have to face. It's because we're human. We face diseases. But at the same time, it's become a much more manageable disease than it once was. When you got the disease, it was a very deadly viral pneumonia, and people were very scared about it. Now, because of the vaccine and because of natural immunity, most people who get it are not dying from it. They're not being hospitalized from it. The cases can go up. I'll just give you an example. In Sweden, the last 4 or 5 months, cases have gone up and then down, like a vast wave of COVID in Sweden, but very few deaths. Unlike in previous ways, where you saw cases go up and then 2 weeks later, you know, deaths would go up with it. That's no longer true. It's like counting, flu or something. I mean, it's a very different disease than it was. I think we have to understand that we're going to have this as a disease, but it's not something we should fear or stop living our lives around.
All right, let's move along, Doctor. Thank you very much for your call. We'll go to Rosemary in Alpena, Michigan. Hi, Rosemary. Sorry, Rosemary. Welcome, Rosemary. You're on the
That's
air.
Okay.
I'll get your name out.
I'll try to make this quick. I lived with a relative for the last 4 years, and now she got the vaccine. I did not, I'm not sure if I want to yet at this time, but she's very cautious. She has me wearing a mask around the house. And she has sanitizing wipes in the kitchen, and anything I touch, she wants me to wipe it down. And the other day she says to me, are you planning on getting the vaccine? I said, no, not at this time. And she says, well, my doctors are very concerned about me because I have a compromised immune system, which I guess I didn't really realize. But I don't understand the logic, because if I got the vaccine, I could still, she's really afraid of the variant. But if I got the vaccine, I could still bring a variant home either way. So would she really be in trouble with me not getting the vaccine?
I mean, you're right, Rosemary, that the vaccine, it doesn't protect, it doesn't provide neutralizing immunity against some of the variants. So there's no perfect way to protect yourself if you have a deficient immune system. The problem is it's not just COVID, though. A deficient immune system leaves you exposed to lots of other viruses and pathogens. And so, it's not unreasonable for someone like in that if they have a severely depleted immune system to worry about things like that. But to worry about specifically you bringing the COVID home when the cases are so low in the community or around the country. And whether you're vaccinated or not, you're not likely to be the primary threat to her. I think we all have to make these decisions, right? We have to all decide what risk we're willing to tolerate. I don't, in the scheme of things, the risk you pose to her is quite small. So, I don't know. I mean, I can understand. I'm sympathetic as well because we have been now conditioned to fear the disease. That's why I was saying earlier, I think we have to learn to not fear it. We have to learn to live with the fact that it exists, but we should live our lives normally. We should treat each other like good neighbor, like, you know, with the way we're called to, like as loving neighbors. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I think it's hard. It's hard all around, but I think that's the message we need to give out. Let's stop fearing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary, thanks. I appreciate it. Jake, do I have any time left or I'm up against the clock? My apologies to everyone who's been waiting so long to speak to you. Doctor, let me give you final thoughts on this. You know, we started with the Lambda variant. A lot of people have questions still about whether or not to get the vaccination, and so many questions still loom. Final thoughts for those who are listening, and again, thank you for your time.
I mean, I think if you're older, please get the vaccine. The vaccine protects against severe disease, and actually, we've been quite successful in the U.S. I think something like 85, almost 90% of people who are older have got the vaccine. If you're in the 10% that haven't, I really strongly recommend it. If you're over 65, that getting the vaccine protects you against severe disease. Don't worry about the variants if that's the case, because as long as you have the vaccine, you're going to be protected against even the variants of severe disease. So let's stop fearing the virus. Let's start living our lives again.
Doctor, thanks. We will catch up again soon. Keep up your good work, and I'm just so grateful for your time. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Drew.
You got it. That's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. And say a prayer for him and the work that he's involved with. Let's pray that COVID will be behind us. All right? Let's pray for each other. I'll be praying for you. I'm out of time for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow. I promise to give you a look at life you won't find anywhere else. Until then, have a great day.